Take our Bibles and go back to, I'm not sure where to go back to yet, so just go anywhere and it'll be okay. I'm going to do a little bit, it's not unusual, sometimes if I don't finish a sermon, I'll finish it on Sunday night, and I didn't think that was going to happen this morning, but it did. But anyway, so it's going to be kind of short tonight because the last point is short, and you'd be disappointed if I end at a halfway decent time, won't you? Yeah. Before I do that, let me just go over again quickly just the announcements. This Saturday at 9 o'clock for our men, it includes sons as well, teenagers, what we're calling Just for Men, Brother Packard will be dealing with subjects that are personal to men, dealing with men on men's issues, and that will start this Saturday. Normally, they will be on the fourth Saturday of the month. We're doing it a week early because of the men's prayer advance next week, and that starts at 9. We'll have breakfast, and then after that, we will have that teaching time, prayer time, so it should be very good, and trust that our men will come out for that. Also, if you didn't have a chance to sign the Protect Our Child list out in the foyer or downstairs, make sure you do that before you leave tonight. And then in 2 weeks, we have our quarterly business meeting. And again, the major thing in addition to reviewing the 2016 finances, as we've mentioned before, and just mentioning again a few weeks in advance, we'll be presenting and voting on the church taking excess funds from our general fund, anything over $90,000, and taking that and placing that in the building fund to help us continue to try to pay down the loan on the first stage of the building project. So that will be presented at that time. So keep those things in mind. This morning, as we were looking at the thought of giving ourselves to God, we focused on giving our time, mentioned that it is really one of the most valuable commodities that God has given to us, and I do consider it a gift that God gives to us because he doesn't have to give us any time, quite frankly. But he does, and praise the Lord for it. And we looked this morning at the urgency of time, you know, the importance of realizing that our time is short. We have no promise of tomorrow. It's kind of a sobering thing when you start a new year to think about the year in completion and who will be here and who will be missing. And a church this size, it's not always the case where you have people pass away, but you know, that's certainly a possibility. So we need to think in terms of the urgency of the hour, the urgency of time, because we need to be realizing, as Paul taught, that the time is short, thinking in those terms. We talked about how there is the danger of being delayed, delay among the lost, and that delay can be costly. When God begins to convict, he says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. We need to be dealing with those things. And for believers, we need to realize that the longer we linger and don't do things in the immediate, in the time that God gives us now, it can lead to defeat. Where God wants to work in our life in a special way, God wants to use us in a special way, and when God begins to deal with us through the Holy Spirit, we end up saying, well, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll begin to deal with that area of my life tomorrow. I'll begin to read my Bible tomorrow. Everything's tomorrow, it seems like. That's the mentality that sometimes we get into. And of course, there's danger there. So we looked at the urgency of time. And tonight, again, it's going to be short, the use of time, the use of time. So let's have prayer and we'll look at this evening. Father, I thank you for this book. I thank you for the way it has changed so many of us. Lord, not just saving us, but changing the way we look at life and changing our desires and changing us from discouragement to hope. Father, I thank you for that. And I ask that this book would continually change me. There is so much more in me that needs to be changed, and I admit it. I need you. I need this book in my life. Father, I ask that you give us understanding tonight. I ask, Lord, in the few minutes we're here, that it would be a profitable time, again, just not only realizing the urgency, that time is short, but realizing that whatever amount of time you have for us on this earth needs to be used and used properly and not wasted. So God, I pray that we get some benefit out of this tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verses 14 through 17. And twice in Paul's writings, he uses the phrase redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. The first time he uses it is here in Ephesians chapter 5. And again, there's nothing deep about what I'm going to say tonight, but a hope that it will make us stop and think about how much time we waste. And I realize, and I say this with the understanding that people are busy. And when you hear me say wasting time, you may be saying, you don't know the kind of schedule I keep. I need more time. I'm not wasting time. I, you know, would die to have, you know, an extra 4 or 5 hours in a day. I was on a college tour back before I went to Bob Jones University. And in this college tour, we had gone to Tennessee Temple University. How many have ever heard of Tennessee Temple University? Just closed its doors a few years ago. It was once a very, very good school. Very good school. And so we were sitting there in the chapel service, and they had one of the staff, one of the professors there at the school, speaking in that chapel. And all he did was talk about the young people's schedule. And he said, you, as a college student, you're carrying 18, maybe 20 hours. You're working 30 hours a week, 40 hours a week. And you say, I just don't have time to do my studies. I don't have time to serve the Lord. I don't have time to do this. And he broke their schedule down, beginning early in the morning from the time they got up to the time they went to bed, and produced with evidence how many minutes and hours go wasted. And I remember him saying, you know, young people, you come out here and you're going to lunch and you're going to stand in this line for the next 15 minutes waiting to get into the cafeteria to eat. And you just stand there and you do nothing. Have some note cards for your Greek class, or have some note cards for, you know, whatever class it is, and study while you're standing in line. Don't waste your time. And just practical things like that over and over again about how we waste time. So when I heard that, it's like, I would have never, ever, ever thought of that. You know what? We do waste a lot of time. For instance, what do you do when you drive to work? What do you do? Rest. No. This is not a good time. Not a good time to rest. I don't know who said that. I don't want to know. Or maybe I do want to know, so I stay away from you. How about you say, well, I struggle finding time to pray. You know when is a good time to pray? When you're driving. Don Angel. Some of the folks in here know that name. Before Debbie and I were married, he was a student at BUA. He ended up marrying Debbie's aunt, who is the same age as Debbie, so he's more like a brother-in-law to me. And he pastors now. It was Doug Nisley, myself, and Don Angel. We shared an apartment after graduation. That was like, you know, you hear the odd couple? That was the odd trio. I mean, brother, we were all totally different. Don had a routine. Every morning, got up about 4 o'clock, got in his car and drove for a couple hours. That's how he prayed. Every single morning, got in his car and drove for a couple hours to pray. And I'm thinking, well, if he can pray and it works for him, then I can pray in my car. Now, I don't do this all the time, but, you know, if you make a commitment to pray, there are times where your schedule is going to be interrupted. And so if I know I have to be up early and go to a surgery or something like that, And I know I'm not going to have all that allotted time that I need to pray because I have a thousand other things to do that day. Then I won't let that time be wasted. I will use it to pray. You can find time to do things. I'm not trying to be gross. And please, I know you're probably going to laugh at this. I had a friend. Her name was Michelle Avenido. Her father was from the Philippines. Remember Dr. Avenido? They were wealthy. They had a gorgeous house. And I remember we were over there for like a teen activity. And I went into the restroom. And you know what they had? A bunch of books. So that when you were sitting there, you read. You don't waste time. How many use a treadmill? Fred does that in his bathroom. Better turn that thing back up a little bit louder. I'm gonna get myself in trouble tonight. How many, maybe at a gym or at home, you use a treadmill? Anybody use a treadmill? Okay. You know what? That's a good time. Listen, that's a good time to read. Unless you got it up to about 10 miles an hour, don't read. But anyway, if you're on a treadmill, listen, I'm just saying practical things where sometimes, you know, it's not a waste of time to exercise. We know that. But you can, as the old saying goes, you can kill two birds with one stone. So, I mean, you can do something like that. Using our time and using it wisely. And here, Paul makes the statement in verse 14 of chapter 5, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And the next phrase, redeeming the time because the days are evil. One of the reasons the days are evil is because we don't know from one day to the next when we will run out of time. So while you have time in the present, redeem it. Buy it back from misuse. Buy it back from waste. Buy it back from using it for purposes that really aren't going to honor God. Redeem the time because the days are evil. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So we should use our time in the attitude of purchasing back what often we waste from day to day. Now, I want to be careful here because I'm certainly not suggesting that you cannot go home tonight and watch the Pittsburgh Steelers. The deacons and trustees cannot. But the rest of you, as you go home, if you want to watch the Steelers and the Chiefs, you know, listen, obviously I'm not opposed to that. I'm not suggesting you can't, you know, have what we call downtime and rest time. But when it comes to this thought, I just don't have time to read God's Word. I just don't have time to spend in prayer because my schedule is so busy. A number of years ago, I had a man down south. The church down there say, he said, you know, I'm up 3:34 in the morning. I don't get home till 8, 9, sometimes 10 o'clock at night. He said, I can't come home and sit down and read because, he said, instantly I'll fall asleep. And that makes total sense to me, total sense. Now, he was a truck driver, and so I said to him, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you take your Bible with you? And you're an over-the-road type driver, and normally you don't have to unload your own truck, and you're sitting there waiting to pull up to the docks. You got 15, 20 minutes. You're sitting there letting this company unload your truck. Why don't you take that time to be your Bible reading time? Use that time to be your memorization time. Because you have three or four stops during the day, you can use that time wisely. Some of you men, even ladies, you find yourself in a position where your schedule is so tight. Listen, you don't have necessarily a lot of time in the morning or even in the evenings, but maybe some way you could find some time. I used to work for a company named Schumacher Lumber. You see these signs for Schumacher Homes. I believe that was part of the Schumacher family up there in Ohio. And when I was working for them, I worked 10 hours a day, had a long way to travel to get to work, a long way back. So I was young and I was single, so what time really wasn't a factor. But what I did was I had a New Testament with me, and when it was my lunch break, I took that time to read my Bible. While I was eating, I read my Bible. I'm saying there is a way that we can redeem time, buy time back that once was wasted, so that we use our time wisely. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Paul uses this phrase a second time. In chapter 4, we'll look first at verse 5. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, to get an understanding of what he's referring to and to whom he's referring, go back to verse 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I used that verse last week in talking about witnessing, you know, how we need to ask God to give us opportunities to witness. You know, Lord, give me opportunity today as I'm out about at work or at home. Lord, just open the door for me to be able to give the gospel to someone. You present that opportunity and I'll take advantage of it, kind of thing. He's referring to the giving of the gospel, verse 4, that I may make it, the gospel, manifest, make it known as I ought to speak. That's my responsibility. So, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Walk in wisdom toward the lost, redeeming the time. Because here's what happens in our use of time. We say, I don't have time to come out to Outreach Saturday. And yesterday, I'm not rebuking, but we only had four people. We had 144 in church this morning. We had four people out for our big outreach, you know, the month. We're hardly getting anybody coming out now on Thursdays. And I know we got other things going on. We got Good News Club, Impact, Prison Ministry, and all those things. And those are all important. But neither Impact, this is a thing that I have had said to me personally in somewhat of a gentle rebuke about the prison ministry. Pastor, you go and you spend that time in those prisons. We go to three prisons, twice to each prison a year. That's a fair amount of time. And they said, you're not helping our church by being at that prison. Whatever happens there doesn't benefit Grace Baptist Church. Now, you'd have to understand the whole story. It wasn't put like, or meant the way it probably comes out. Brother, I'm going to keep doing prison ministry because there's fruit. Amen. People are getting saved. I'm going to keep doing it. And just like, you know, the Good News Club, I think, how many came with the last few weeks, ladies? Well, we've had like three or four kids come forward. You know, Impact. Now, and a lot of those people we never see come to this church. We're going to keep doing those ministries. Why? Because God's using us. God's using our people. But if we're going to reach Bridgeport, we can't reach them at Gilmer Federal Prison. And we're not really going to reach them at WI Middle School. We got to go into our own neighborhoods and meet people that live around us. So we got to redeem the time. So I say that not as necessarily rebuke, but the necessity of it. But here's what we say sometimes. Pastor, because of my schedule, I can't come out on Thursday nights. I work till 7:30. You guys leave at 6:30. I can't do it. That's legitimate. When I first came here back in 95, Pastor Niza said to me, he said, now Jeff, you're going to have to understand something. The people here, the men here, have long hours. And when we do visitation nights, many of them can't come out. So don't get huffy with them. Don't you know, think negatively toward them because of the kind of work they do. It's not the same kind of area that you had down in Atlanta or in some other places. This is different here. You're going to have to kind of bear patiently. And he was right, obviously. So that may be your situation. So you say, I just don't have opportunity to join in these organized means, maybe even Impact or Good News Club or the Prison Ministry. I just don't have that opportunity. What you do have, though, is time that you can use to witness to the lost. Now, you may not have been able to be out here yesterday morning or this past Thursday evening, But you've had all day today, and you'll have all day tomorrow, and you have all day Tuesday. And when you look at verse 5, he's saying you need to walk in wisdom toward the lost, looking for and using the time that God gives you to minister to those people. You know, we have people that work in all kind of industries. And I'll just, Luke's not here, is he? There he is. Okay, Luke. Luke is a nurse. He used to work in the emergency room, Luke. Luke has some unique opportunities. Now listen, he is some inside kind of stories about the emergency room that you can ask Luke about after the service is done. He'd be glad to tell you. Now, I realize that Luke can't just up and blast people with the gospel because he get fired. He's not allowed to do that. But there are times where God will open up a door for him that I would never get the opportunity to do that. Jeff works for Orkin, has a route, and he's mentioned many times in our prayer meetings, you know, pray for this customer. God opened up a door for me to witness to them. You know what? Jeff was always here on Thursday nights before he got that route. I hate that route. I want you to get rid of it. No, I'm just teasing. And now because of his time with that work, he's not able to come out on Thursday nights like he was in the past. But he's constantly looking for opportunities and redeeming his time to witness to people as he's working. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Paul is talking about here. We need to speak to people. And so we ask God, give me an open door. And God says, just use some wisdom, and if you'll look, you'll find that God is constantly opening doors for you. Our responsibility is not to waste the time that God, or the opportunity that God gives us to witness, because it's there. You get into an elevator and you're riding up to the next level and you got somebody beside you. Hey, you get a chance, why don't you read that? You walk past somebody. Hey, sir, while you're sitting here waiting for that bus, here's something you can read. You go into the gas station, there's that clerk. You know what? Now, at midnight, when nobody's there and it's a young girl, if you were to die tonight, you know, we'd spend eternity. Don't do that, because you'll probably pull a shotgun out and want to blow you away. But there are opportunities that God gives us all the time. Redeem the time. And you notice, because it's part of it, I think, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. One of my problems is, maybe you struggle with this too, is we get focused on the task at hand. You know, if I got to run up to the bank and I've got to cash a check, or if I've got to go to the post office and mail a letter, you know, I'm maybe focused on those things, as mundane as that sounds, and don't think about that postal worker, or don't think about that individual and the need they have, or that other customer that's walking in, and you can tell they're kind of struggling, and say, God, help me not to be so focused that when I walk up to that counter and I've got five people at Christmas time in front of me in the post office, and there's a person up there, and they're going to lick every stamp, and they're going to address every envelope. And they're going to take the next 15 minutes, and I'm getting frustrated and frustrated and frustrated until I say, hey, can't you open another counter? Can't you get another worker out here? I've got to get back to work. So now, because I've not used words filled with grace, I get up to that counter, and I pay for the stamps, and then I pull out the Christmas tract and say, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and this will tell you about Jesus Christ in here. And they're saying, get out of here, you hypocrite. Walk in wisdom toward them without redeeming the time, using the time, buying the time that we often waste in those circumstances, and doing it with wisdom, and have enough sense as we look to redeem the time to speak with grace, because God may open up a door and you don't want to have done anything to blow it. I remember, I think I mentioned this several years ago when I was on staff down at Belmont. I was actually on my lunch break at Belmont and I had to go down to the bank. And I walked in, and I don't remember what the issue was, But the bank had done something. I think they had made a mistake, actually. And once in a great while, a bank will actually make a mistake. So I go in there. I was kind of upset. I'm dealing with one of the bank workers, and I was kind of nasty with her. And I walk out the door, and the Holy Spirit said, "You blew it." You know why I blew it? Because I'm going to walk back in that bank again and address that person again. And they won't want to hear what I have to say. I drove down the road, and the Holy Spirit made me drive, turn around my car, go back, go inside, and apologize to that lady. Why? Because if the opportunity presents itself to witness to her, I don't want that opportunity to have been ruined because of unkind words. I'm just trying to redeem the time, use it properly, and have wisdom in those things. So this is what we're talking about, the use of time. One other place before we close tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter 1, I want to start in verse 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That word conversation is more than just our talk. He's referring to what our life says, our behavior. "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love," or sincere love, "of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." Now notice these words. "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." There's an aspect of time here. He's saying your time, and that person who's in need has limited time. I looked up the word time yesterday, not in the Greek or anything like that, just looking up a definition of time. And I read this definition. Time is a point of time as measured in hours and minutes. And the attitude is, time is limited. It has a definite starting point and an ending point, and that's it, a period of time. You know, Deacon's Trustees meeting starts at 7, ends at 10:05, point of time. Just kidding. Kind of the point of time. There's a beginning of it, but there's a definite end to it. And when we're thinking about the souls of others, they have a limit. They have a certain time to live, a certain opportunity, a certain time where they can have the gospel presented to them. And as he speaks about this opportunity, he tells us that in the time that we have to influence their time, we need to live in a fear of God, in a reverence, constantly keeping our lives holy. Holy. Because those people like you and me whose flesh is like grass that will wither away and die. We have a limited amount of time where we can influence people for Christ, and they have a limited amount of time in which they can be influenced for Christ. And so we need to live our time with reverence toward God so that we can have the greatest effect on other people. So anyway, I don't know if that came out very well, but just encourage you tonight, not only with the urgency of time as we looked at this morning, but the use of time. And so I think back to that teacher, that professor at Tennessee Temple University, and what he said to those students that student body that day, maybe it would be good for you and me, as he encouraged those to sit down and write out your schedule. You say, well, my schedule is always a little bit different. Okay, well, generalize it. You've got a general habit of how you live your life. Write it out. Find some time where you can spend alone with the Lord. Find some time how you can be in His Word. Find some areas where you can be in prayer. And even, since there's such an emphasis in it in the New Testament, find time where you can tell others about Christ. Find time where you can tell others about Christ. But if you don't make time for things, then you won't take the time for things. Is that not true? So make time. Make time for the things that are right. Because I have no problem or trouble finding time for my personal pleasures. He, the one who said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," deserves preferential treatment in our time. Amen. So even if it comes down to a practical thing like writing out your schedule and saying, "God, you help me figure out how I can honor you and how I can reverence you and how can I influence others. You give me a gift, time. Help me use it wisely." And I believe the Lord will help us do that. Close with this. You realize even the devil is conscious of time? The Bible says in Revelation 12, the last part of verse 12, "The devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." You know why the devil is so diligent in doing what he does? Because he knows he is bound by time. And his time is short. And he's going to try to ruin as many lives as he can before he has to pack it in and be sent into the pits of hell. Should we not be conscious of the shortness of time? And as wicked as the devil is, I can say this, maybe it's the wrong way to put it, but the devil uses his time wisely. For his gig, what he's doing, he uses his time wisely for what he's doing. I like this last verse, Revelation 10:6. There's going to come a day, the Bible says, there shall be time no longer. And that I look forward to. Because when we get to that point, we'll no longer be bound by time. And that helps me, because God is not bound by time. It is never tomorrow with God. And it is never yesterday. He can never be late. He can never be early. That's why he commands us to wait upon him. We live in a dimension called time. It limits us. And we need to work within the limitation that we've been placed in. God has no limitation. No limitation of time. And I just find that interesting. And it helps me, because when I pray, and I say, well, it's been a week, it's been a month, it's been a year, it's been a decade, whatever. God says, I'm not bound by time. I'm not late. Trust me. I'm not late. Trust me. We need to. Well, that's what I have for tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I hope you do not feel this was a waste of your time tonight. I trust there was something maybe here tonight that we just help you to stop and just think, Lord, maybe I do need to examine what I do with the precious little time that I have on this earth. God, help me to use it wisely.